Please turn with me to the Word of God in the book of 2 Peter as we consider a most exciting and encouraging topic, the return of our Lord Jesus. How does it impact you? Dear friends, if you truly are waiting for His coming, whenever we talk about His coming, it should create a surge of joy to see our Savior come again in power and great glory. This is the topic for tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3. This letter was written by the one who denied the Lord three times. Do you remember? On the night of our Lord's betrayal, he denied that he ever knew Jesus. Amazing. And Jesus restored him so that he could write this wonderful letter. He promised the Lord three times. Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you truly love me? If so, feed my sheep three times." Now this letter is part of his promise. He never forgot. And this letter is a proof. Verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 3. Know this verse. There shall come in the last days scoffers. Who are scoffers? People who make fun of the thought and the message of Jesus returning. How can it be? Do you know that the church at large today does not believe that Jesus rose from the dead? And if he did not rise from the dead, how could he ever come again? And the whole doctrine of Jesus' return to them is ridiculous. I recall reading in Straits Times, none other. People believe Jesus is returning, yes. Do you believe? Yes. We all believe. When? 10,000 years time. That is scoffing, making fun of it. Verse 3. Know this first. There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. What do you mean by walking after their own lust? They have their own agenda. They have their own 5-year plan, 10-year plan. Oh, don't disturb my plan. How can it be that Jesus may return any time that will upset all my projects? They make fun. Verse 4. Where is the promise of his coming, they say? Who says this? Not the people outside. I mentioned Straits Times. These are people in the church. People who today profess in their mouth to be Christians, but they do not believe and they make fun of it. What do they say? They say, how can it be? Everything goes on as per normal. Every day is business as usual, you say. Jesus is coming and things will stop. There will be a new coming, a new dawn, and a new regime will come in. How can it be? Verse 5. Now, dear friends, there are just two global judgments. Two, only two. Number one was the flood. And evidence for the flood is seen everywhere. Do you know that when you pull up your car and say, fill up with gas or gasoline, that gasoline came from under the rocks of the flood. Do you know this? Whenever you look at the mountains and see all the stratified rocks, those were laid down during the flood waters. Amazing. Verse 5. They willingly ignorant. They refuse to see the evidence. that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water and perished. This is a landmark event in world history, recorded for us in world geology, everywhere visible. As I said, you don't have to go far to see the evidence. Just when you fill up and top up the next time with petrol, ask yourself, where did the petrol come from? Can you tell me? Oh, my friends, all the vegetation went under the rock, and the rock came above it. Where did the rock come from? From the surface soil that had never tasted rain until then. And then as a cement mix, it came over the trees, which went first. Remember that man's average age before the flood was what? 912 years old, 900 plus. Average age. Using the same argument, the evidence is the trees would have lived also 1,000 years. 500 years. Do you know how trees grow? And when those trees went under the water, enormous amount of hydrocarbons was buried. Those of you who are scientists will understand what we're talking about. And under the rock, there was a great pressure and heating chamber. And all the trees went through. Do you know that today in the laboratory, you can produce petrol in half an hour with wood chips, going through this pressure and heat chamber, it comes out as petrol. Amazing. And people refuse to believe. Why? Because simply they hate God. How can there be a God who interrupts our lifestyle and causes us to stop to say, hey, Jesus is coming, things will grind to a halt, and then he will judge the world for unbelief. We don't believe. We don't want to be judged. So they scoff. Verse 7. Now this is Peter writing. Who is Peter? I remind you again. Peter was the spokesman of the 12 apostles, the one who was resuscitated, as it were, by Jesus. Lovest thou me? You really love me? Feed my sheep. Write for them. Remind them of this message. The most wonderful message is what? Our Lord Jesus not only died, rose for us, ascended to heaven, and there continues the ministry looking after us. And he will come. He will come, whether you like it or not. Verse 7. Why does he come? For a second judgment of the earth. When was the first judgment? By water. Second judgment? By fire. Oh, it's coming. Be ready, dear friends. Verse 7. But the heaven and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Mankind will not want to entertain the idea that our life has to be interrupted. And business will not go on as usual as we want and we plan and we project. No, they say, forget it, forget it. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. To God, 1,000 years does not impact as on us. You cannot understand, cannot imagine, but when you have lived perhaps as old as me, you can look back on last century, and that century becomes quite a short while, amazingly. You can have a perspective of the whole 20th century. To God, it does not matter. He is not bothered. 1,000 years in eternity, but a drop in the ocean. Why has Jesus not come back? There's a reason given here. Read on. Verse 8. Be not ignorant. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years as one day. In other words, time does not matter to God. God has a plan, and that plan is fixed according to God's own timetable. When the time comes, He will descend from heaven. What for? Now we're going to find out as we go into tonight's discussion. So, why has Jesus not come? Verse 9. Now this is the explanation. That's the reason. And you see the great loving heart of God. Why He has not come earlier. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack. He's not somebody who forgets an appointment. Or He comes late for some reason. No. Our Lord is never late. Never too early. Always just on time. The Lord is not slack, verse 9, as some men count slackness, but He is simply long-suffering. What is long-suffering? He thinks of all the people who need to repent, and He thinks of giving them more time. In case our evangelistic people here will go out tracting, spreading the gospel, in case they may hear the gospel and repent. The Lord has not come for one reason. He is patient, waiting for people to repent. But I say, dear friends, we must go. While the Lord is patient, we must be diligent, industrious, going out to tell. Are you concerned about the unsaved loved ones in your family? Here is a lesson for all of us. Are you concerned? The Lord is concerned. He has not come for one reason, that men may repent. We must go, that they, hearing what you have to say, your testimony, your witness, they may repent. God is not willing, we are still reading the last part of verse 9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Keep thanking the Lord, do you? Thank God that you ever heard the gospel. Maybe it was from your parents. Thank them. Thank God for them. Maybe your Sunday school teacher, maybe your school teacher. There are those in school who are zealous for the Lord, and they keep on giving out the gospel, and souls are saved. How about the tracting people? People who go tracting to the HDB flats. In case there are those who are willing to listen and come into salvation. Now come verse 10, our concluding verse. But now here is the catch. Do you believe Jesus is coming? If you do, this verse is to remind you. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This expression of thief in the night is repeated again and again and again. In other words, in case there are people who take it lightly and they brush it off, I don't care. Jesus says the day will come. Definite. As sure as you are sitting here, as sure as in 20 minutes time this sermon will finish and we'll go home. Sure, right? As sure as that, the Lord has a timetable. He is coming, but you must be aware of it. It is a thief in the night. No thief informs you first, warns you, say, hey, tomorrow night at 2 a.m. I'm coming. Be careful. No thief is so foolish. Now the Lord says, I will come at a time you don't expect. When you think business as usual, go on every day, every day. Every day I can go to my work. I say, one day you'll find that going to work is no more. All your plans of projects, of 5-year plans and 10-year projects, will all grind to a halt. Why? Jesus has come. What for? In the song we sang, will Jesus find us watching? Because he comes to reward us. Let me tell you this, dear friends, not just to reward us. He comes for many other reasons, as we shall shortly see when I show you. Now let's carry on. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now we shall see where we go from here. Jesus is coming again. Now you ask me. I have no doubt there are people here who have doubts. In their own minds, they do not like the idea that, Jesus is going to interrupt my life. How can I know? How can I be sure? Does it really matter? Well, let me do my work. Run my own life as I like and let Jesus come. I say, is that what you think? What do you think? My dear friends, if Jesus is coming, take note. Have faith. What he says, he will do. What is faith to you? What is it? Don't treat this lightly and dismiss it and say, simply believing and obeying God is faith, as Abraham did. God says, Abraham, leave your hometown, I'm going to bless you. Then Abraham says, Lord, I think it sounds good, but let me think about it and forget it. My friends, don't say forget it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Our God is waiting for us to respond. And to say, dear Lord, I thank you for telling me I'm going to be ready for your coming. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Are you also reading the word of God? Tonight you hear the word of God preached to you. You hear it. How about reading it? Or is not just enough to hear the word of God, but you must read, you must love the word. Show that you truly love God by reading his word. Now, in order to understand why Jesus must return, we consider God's complete redemption plan. Four things are mentioned here. Firstly, Jesus came to be born a virgin, through a virgin. Is that strange? Of course. Never before, never after, in any country in the world has this ever happened. What is it? Born of a virgin. How can it be? God in the flesh, without human means, God is able, God who created life, is able to put life into the virgin. And what for? He, as God-man, lived for us, died for us in our place as our substitute. This is the whole gospel plan of God. God himself taking your place to carry your sins. Number three, Jesus rose for our justification. He died in order to save us. What's the use of the Savior dying and rotting away, buried and never to come up again? Our Lord Jesus rose. And then, number four, 40 days later, He ascended to heaven. Why the 40 days? In order that there will be eyewitnesses, men who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, could see Him with the nail prints. Witnesses, very important, 40 days. Then He ascended to heaven. Jesus must return because the products and the blessings of His great work on the cross will not be seen until He returns. Do you know this? Not just the rewards to give to you, but there are so many other things that will happen. Are you worried about the tsunamis, about flooding? They say, well, I'm not in Thailand, I'm not in Bangkok, why do I care? My friends, the 12 million people in Bangkok are worried in case the water should overflow them. Are you worried? Jesus will come in order that He will restore the world. There will be no more flooding, no more earthquakes, no more typhoons, no more tsunamis. All these will be healed. We will have a very wonderful, restored and health-giving and health-living planet Earth, renewed. How did it happen? When Jesus died on the cross, He also sealed the redemption of the creation. Jesus must return, our blessed hope. So this is something that is not often stressed. The whole nature. Do you know that when Jesus returns and rules in the millennium, all the animals will be restored, and a child will lead a lion, a cub, and play with it. No more will the animals hurt anyone anymore. When Jesus returns, it is going to be such a wonderful thing. Why Jesus must return? What for? Number one, to raise up the believers. Do you know that if you have loved ones who died, and you are so heartbroken, never to see. I said, no, wait a minute. In Jesus Christ only, you will see, you will meet with a loved one who has gone ahead. Do you know that? I have a father gone, mother gone, two brothers gone, a sister gone, my better half gone. To all these, is there another chance to meet them again? How wonderful it will be. Yes. It's not wishful thinking. When Jesus comes, all of these who are dead in Christ will rise from the dead. And you and I will be changed. And we shall be united. And together rise to heaven. This is, Jesus will come to raise up the believers. And to redeem His creation, I mentioned this, no more typhoons, no more flooding, no more uncontrollable rains and so on. Number three, to judge the false church. Today there are those who thumb their noses, who scoff at the doctrine of coming again, who do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ or the resurrection, and they in the church. Who are they? Pastors. Doctors of theology. And they do not believe. You think God will say, never mind, never mind. No, when Jesus returns, they will be judged. Who says so? The Word of God says so. He will judge the false church. Do you know that the majority of churches today do not believe in Jesus, and they are there claiming to be churches? Amazing. So Jesus must come to judge the false church and the unbelieving world. It will come as sure as the sun will rise tomorrow. It is the climax of redemption. When Jesus died on the cross, all these things were assured. Now let's just revise. When Jesus returns, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 to 18 will tell. When the trumpet sounds, all the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive, if we are in the midst of a meeting like this, suddenly all of us will be changed, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. We who are alive will be changed. Together we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This is a promise. Dare you believe God's promise? We have a God who says what He means and means what He says. No word will ever go waste. He is our blessed hope. Who calls Him the blessed hope? The Apostle Paul, writing to Titus in 2:13. Looking for the wonderful blessed hope, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the blessed hope. Number two, when Jesus returns, number two, what will happen? The creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. I've mentioned this. No more typhoon, no more earthquakes, no more heavy rains and flooding, no more tsunamis. And animals will be made man-friendly again. The physical world will be healed. No more natural disasters. You know, when you read Genesis 1:31, God, after creating, He looked at the whole creation. What did He say? It's very good. Very good. All the animals were tame and friendly to men and friendly to one another. It will be restored to that when Jesus comes. Signs of His coming. Now you must take note of this. We read about this just now. As in the days of Noah. Noah preached righteousness, encouraging the people to repent, and they say, silly old man, what are you talking about? Flood and rain? Until the rains came in the flood, it had not rained on planet Earth. Do you know that? It is in the Word of God. Number two, as in the days of Lot. So two men are quoted here. First is Noah. As the days of Noah, it will be a repeat, the days before Jesus comes. As in the days of Lot, do you know that now the law in America is changed, allowing men to marry men? Ever heard of it? Same-sex marriage. These are the days of Lot. Return on earth. This is a sure sign. Jesus is coming. This is what God's word says. And falling away, the church no longer believing Jesus is coming, falling away. Great unbelief. When there is great unbelief up to a certain extent, the Lord will come. These are the signs. Are you ready? Are you preparing? Now, for those who understand Chinese, here it is. Zhou is a sailing craft. Ba kou, eight people. Why is the boat chuan? Eight people in a craft. Why? The Chinese descendants of Noah. So we must not forget. In case our children do not know, let's write it into a word. The word boat is 8 people in a craft, to keep reminding us. God, who once judged the earth with water, will yet judge the earth with fire when the Lord Jesus returns. Are you ready? This is the question. How can you be ready? I say, look to the Lord. Look to Him morning, noon and night in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, bless your people that we who have heard will go and tell the great news that our Savior is returning. And as sure as tomorrow the sun will rise, He will return. And may your people be earnest and zealous about the works of the Lord, that we may go forth as His witnesses, and that we will press on with the work that Thou hast committed to us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.